Hi, Steve Sadak here from the podcast you're listening to. Have you ever wanted to see We Hate Movies live? Well, if you live in Atlanta, Houston, or Austin, Texas, this spring you can. That's right. This spring, we are hitting the road and going a bit south to bring you folks comedy that only jaded New Yorkers could come up with. First up, on April the 25th, we are going to the City Winery in Atlanta to talk about Gamer. That's that Gerard Butler movie where a little kid gets to control him through his television or something. Expect a lot of axe in this one. Then, after a short break, we're going to be doing a two-night dance in Texas. On May 14th, we'll be at the Houston Improv talking about a Houston classic, RoboCop 2. That is, to date, the only RoboCop sequel Peter Weller could get out of bed for. It's also got a little kid gangster, a Frank Miller script credit, and a drug called Nuke. You gotta come out and see that live. Then, the very next night, it's gonna be a dark night as we stroll into Cap
City
Comedy Club in Austin, Texas to do a live We Love Movies episode on From Dusk Till Dawn. Bank robbers versus vampires, Harvey Keitel versus a Southern accent, and Salma Hayek's little toes versus Quentin Tarantino's wet mouth. It's going to be a slobber knocker, and it's all going to be live on stage. You definitely don't want to miss this Texas two-step, so definitely come out for both shows. Now, all ticketing info is at whmpodcast.com/tour, so go there right now to get your tickets. Right now, before it's too late. WHMpodcast.com/tour right now for our spring tour that kicks ass.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. I'm Andrew Jupin, and this is our show for Monday, the 11th of March, or Smarch, if you will. Going to bring in some buds here because we got a lot to talk about today. Of course, Hollywood's biggest night, reviewing a movie in limited release right now. Lot to get to, so let's bring in all the buds here. First up, you know him, you love him, and I'm so thrilled that I received a text over the weekend that said he was indeed Dune-pilled. Steve Sadak.
Loved it. Oh, Dune 2.
Yeah.
Oh, living and loving for Dune 2. Yeah, it's great. We'll talk about it. I might share a thought or two when we get to that point at the box office game.
Yeah, so, I like that, dude. What's that shirt going on there?
This is a rare, one of my classic going on eBay for stuff. This is an X, a weird time in the X-Force when nobody was reading it. So they brought in two, my favorite artist, Mike Allred, and this guy, Pete, oh God, it's going to kill me not to know his name. Indie artists to make X-Force more indie. And it was super cool. And I really enjoyed that run.
Nice. So that was $98 later, a t-shirt was shipped to you from Taiwan. Next up, you know him, you love him. He ain't going to buy no t-shirt off the internet. It's Eric Siska.
We did it. Oppie did it. My campaign worked. Yes. I forged a bunch of ballots and drove them around the election integrity. We stole it and we got it.
What a bunch of suckers, dude. They didn't even see your ass coming, huh?
That's right. That's
right. And the scholarly one of us all, I think he might be reading something about the Oscars this week. Let's bring him in and find out. This is Mr. Christopher Cabin.
Of course, after Ryan O'Neill had struck his daughter for winning Paper Moon, he started having a tradition of hitting any kid who won. Anna Paquin had to be rushed out of the backstage on her night. Kirsten Dunst barely missed his fist the last time she was up for Interview with a Vampire. Of course, he was not there to give it to the kid from The Room. I forget his name. Shut up.
Jacob Tremblay.
Jacob Tremblay, of course, a wonderful story about Ryan O'Neill, who did pass, sadly.
Yes.
You know. One of our best child hitters out there.
Yeah, like really top stuff.
Kind of stunning. Like, there's a dude who should have been Farina, but wasn't.
No, I thought for a second he got the hammer at the end there, because like it was like Ryan O'Neal, and then they did that like the camera shift, and I was like, we're giving it to Ryan O'Neal.
It was such an awkward, like, we're cutting away, we're doing different things. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Who was it? Pagliacci and his son?
Yeah.
Who's the fucking guy's name? It's one of the three.
Andrea Bocelli.
Bocelli and his son.
Okay.
Yeah. Bocelli and that dude wasn't a three tenor.
Was it? He wasn't. I thought he was.
Was Andrea Bocelli a third tenor?
I have literally no idea, but I thought he was. But anyway.
Wait, the son died as well? Was that another helicopter type of incident? Or what are we talking about here?
Yeah, so the guy's singing. He is a third tenor.
Oh, was he? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I didn't. Wait, so was he the other guy then? Seinfeld joke?
Three. It might have been. I don't know. He's the he's blind. That's all I know.
He certainly is.
I think it's get the fuck out of here. Oh no, maybe not. All right, no, so he's not. So it's Pavarotti, Domingo, and Carreras.
Okay, yeah, okay. I didn't think so.
Okay,
yeah,
there we go. I mean, Carreras being the other guy.
This is just a musician guy that died.
Another opera singer.
No one is dead. Famous. It's the dude that was singing fucking song last night.
Oh, okay.
He's a very famous opera singer that your parents and grandparents love.
I really doubt that.
Well, not you. I mean everybody else in the world. Not
yes.
You.
Better than generally Michael Bublé, I'll tell you that much.
I mean, but it's true. The fucking way they kept on cutting to them, like, I don't care about them.
No, of course not.
They're singing the song. No. That's nice. But just what's going on?
It's a trend with the Emmys. We now focus way more on the person performing than the thing I care about, which is the people we're memorializing.
Yes.
That's what confused me, because I thought we were talking about giving them the hammer, and I was like, oh shit, they, you know, oh, and this guy and his son also.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre style. Yeah.
Well, maybe next year. They might be in there next year. Next year's Oscar Memoriam, that guy and his son.
Fingers
make
crossed.
It happen.
Dracula and his son.
Okay, so someone who he might have been Farina. I don't know if we were doing death reels at the time today, but guess what, guys? Today, Shemp Howard would have been 129 years old.
I mean, he would never be 129.
Yes, he would. He would have if he didn't step on that nail or whatever.
Yes.
Total legend in the voice acting community. Rob Paulsen turned 68. Someone we love here on the show, of course, Elias Koteas. He turns 63. Mm. Surprisingly, maybe a little tough to work with if you hear onset rumors and otherwise. But Terrence Howard, he's 55 today.
Oh yeah, everybody knows that guy's a pain in the ass. Everybody, it's just common knowledge now. Isn't
so
it?
Chris, you seem to know a lot about this topic. What is he doing? What is his antics on set?
Well, it's not even on set stuff. It's more like he's very pompous. I mean, like you hear all these stories about most actors are a little pompous. The famous story is the Iron Man. Like, I want double what I got for the first Iron Man to be in the second Iron Man. And they're like, you know what? We can just get Don Cheadle. We can really
I have a thing where it's a story where Terrence Howard was asked to like sign a guest book by like a 16-year-old kid. And the 16-year-old kid gave him like a Sharpie. And he was like, he flipped out and was like, look at this suit I'm wearing. You want me to get Sharpie all over this? And it was like, dude, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Oh,
how about
man.
That?
Yeah. I didn't know he was talking down to kids. I kind of like him now.
Well, that's me, man. Look at this t-shirt, okay? This is $98. You want your Sharpie all over this?
They should they should make t-shirts at this point if they are going to make shirts like this to be Sharpie proof. Because you know you're going to be around people who are signing stuff anyway. Let's see. You know,
we need more chemicals next to our skin at all times.
Yes, please.
Beloved pop culture personality and all-around jackass Johnny Knoxville turns 53.
Wow.
Thora Birch is 42. She's still making movies or what?
I don't know. Probably.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Someone who definitely is, Jodie Comer, turns 31. Those are the birthdays this fine week, gentlemen.
Happy birthday, everyone. Happy birthday, Shemp Howard. Again, I just want to shout him out yet again.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, he'll be celebrating down in hell today.
Yes, apologies for not getting you to the Lazarus pit so you could be 129 years old.
Yeah. You and Shecky Green, we should put the effort in for those.
And to answer your question, Thora Birch had a guest appearance on Mayfair Witches in 2023, and she's got two movies come out somewhere soon called The Midway Point and Thirsty. I am sure both of those are directed to me.
Yes, somewhere soon. Who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm. So pretty cool, guys. This weekend, a lot of new faces at the box office. Let's take a look around at the numbers here. This is highest gross. Of course, we should say, fellas, good afternoon, good evening, good morning to everyone in the chat. We got Busiris87, Daniel Hood, Split Banana, Very Gooster, Knowledge Junkie, Foul, Logan Hill, D Shuba. Thanks for joining us this fine day, folks. Thanks
D Shuba
McGavin, Nico Fish, those stupid Sandwich Jones, everybody here. Of course, by the way, gang, if you're not subscribed to this very channel on YouTube, might want to do that. Also, like this video, all that good stuff. Help us elevate the show's profile. Now, doing the top five here on Highest Gross, of course. So first up, A Month in Theaters brings Bob Marley One Love to the fifth spot today. 4.1 million. Still, it's just a massive hit. It did a good job.
We saw our dude last night dancing around as one of the Kens. I was surprised he did that with this newfound stardom.
I think they all got in there, right?
Yeah, Simu was there too. Yeah. And then I don't know who the other white guy was. There's a big old white dude.
I think that is Chris Evans' brother, if I remember what Chelsea was telling me last night.
Okay.
Yeah. Kingsley Benadir, is that this dude's name who played Bob Marley?
Yeah.
I'll probably be renting that pretty soon. Yeah. In at number four, from Angel Studios, the studio and same director that brought you Sound of Freedom, comes Cabrini.
Ooh. What the hell is this? What is this? A traveling nun?
7.7 million at the box office. This, Eric Siska, is the story of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. She was an Italian nun who moved to New York. I was just reading this on Wikipedia, actually, because Cabrini Street is up here in North Manhattan, where I live. She was a woman who was sainted by the Catholic Church. She was a famous for pushing the mayor of New York at the time to invest in programs to help orphans around New York City.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you were going to say, like, pushed him into the street or something.
Yeah. No, I think just, like, you know, turned the screws to him, made him look like an asshole for not caring about orphans.
That's funny, because I think the projects in Candyman are called Cabrini Green.
Yes.
Cabrini Green. She also, she did work in Chicago as well. Yeah, so this is an odd, like, this isn't about conspiracy theories and whatever. This is a biopic of the saint. I mean, I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know if any of us are seeing it. Let's be clear about that one. I don't even think I'm going to walk into this one.
But like right down the road, like just downtown from my neighborhood is her like memorial, like part of her body is buried in there. Yeah, I was learning all this.
Part of her body?
The Catholics love that, man. They like a little bit of your fingy is hanging out somewhere.
That's because saints are too powerful. If you get all the body together, it'll reanimate.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you're not too far off here. So, like, I was reading about this. It's fucked up. Like, her head is in Rome.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay.
Keep that there.
There's, like, an arm or a hand or something in Chicago. And, like, the rest of the body is down the street from my house. What a very weird thing. The Catholics like to slice and dice their saints, I guess.
Break it up more than that. You can't just have, like, a torso, legs, and one arm in New York.
Well, I think we'll leave the body here. If this church is really successful, we'll cut her up. We'll get some sequels going.
Yeah, that's an idea.
I just want to hear the discussion between them. Like, how do you negotiate who's getting the most of the body or the most important part of? Like, Rome is just like, and no, we get to the head. We get the head.
I think clearly,
at the end of the movie, Rome. the end of the movie is like the Pope is like, ah, okay, Shia, die, and I'll get the heck of Sara out.
It's just like the Pope sharpening a knife.
And now you'll get on the other side. And
Swedish chef style, these big hands just moving this thing.
That's amazing.
Okay, New York, so, you get to have the heart. You can have the heart, I suppose, if you really want.
Oh, anyone actually drink the blood at all? Or
no, but the heart is somewhere else, if recall. Yeah, no, it's really weird, guys. Her Wikipedia page is very fascinating.
There you go.
Way more than I thought we'd ever talk about Cabrini, but that was indeed in at number four. In at number three, a trailer that I kind of, every time they show the little villain in this movie, I was cackling in the theaters. This is Imaginary. From Lionsgate.
What the hell is this? I don't know about this. I've seen it
like once. They barely advertised it to
zero times.
Jeff Wadlow, excuse me, one of the favorites of the WHM crew, the man behind Fantasy Island. And my God, this movie. It is it doesn't have as many like crazy twists as Fantasy Island, which I was kind of upset about.
So you saw this, Chris?
Oh yeah, I saw this. Me and me and Cameron Ripley were having a good time.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
On Saturday night, we were hanging out.
Someone swarmed this guy already.
I've been trying to get Cameron swarmed for years, and he's just impossible. It is the ending is kind of interesting. Like when they go the last like 20 minutes of it, something cool happens. But like everything else is just so nothing.
So it's
like
about a spooky teddy bear. Is that what
I'm spooky teddy bear? Yeah. Okay. That's about it.
That's what I was laughing at in the preview.
I'm T minus 4 weeks till I read this for $20. Guaranteed. Yeah, guaranteed.
Yep. Oh yeah, without question. Now, Chris, let me ask you this though, because as far as the Blumhouse output this year, so far not great. Because was not a haunted pool movie also this year?
Yes. It was.
Night Swim. So is this better or worse than Night Swim?
Huh.
Chris's head exploded.
I kind of think I have to go with this one just because it's crazier.
Okay. Sure.
Like the premise of Night Swim is insane, but like in the actual thing, or like it's kind of like the normal crazy things that happen. This, a genuine, like, what the fuck was that? Like, as happens with Jeff Wadlow and his wonderful touch. I think he also did Truth or Dare, one of those.
Oh, yeah, Truth or Dare, which was one of my favorite films.
Yeah, I think he's also for that one.
So there you go. Yeah, big rental vibes with that one. Although I will say, if Love Lies Bleeding wasn't out in limited release in New York this weekend, I probably would have just gone and seen Imaginary. Yeah. Anyway, in at number two, fall from the top slot already, but it's still totally fine, you guys. $46 million.
I know.
We're looking at what was the transition down here? Oh yeah, it only dropped 44%. It's doing all right. $72 million of this gross alone is IMAX. Steve Sadek, stray thoughts on Dune 2?
Yeah, I saw it at the Kips Bay IMAX. We got there by horseback, which is the only way to get there. You have to take a horse.
You got to go back to 1890s New York City to get to that Kips Bay movie theater.
It is so fucking far out there, man.
What was the reason for that? Just because you wanted IMAX and that was the closest, or showtimes?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It was the IMAX. I didn't feel like going all the way uptown because we're downtown. Sure. Folks. Yeah. So it was a pretty packed screening. I loved it. I think it's... The one thing I was thinking about is I think it's a good example, an argument for if you're going to do like the big, big movie and we're going to break it in half, or we're going to film it all together, maybe don't do that. Maybe actually make the first half, reflect on it, and then you can make the second half, because that's what this is. It's like Denis watched the first one and is like, what can I do to make this more exciting, more interesting, more balls to the wall? You know what I mean? It doesn't like... It's not like refuting the first one, but it does improve upon it, I think, in my opinion, in almost every single way. Like, just the visuals are more interesting. There's more action. There's more cool shit to keep your brain turning.
Like Atomics. Thank you, Oppenheimer. He's in multiple movies.
Yes. It is great that we see an underdog win like Oppenheimer. It's not often that we see someone come up and from under like that.
From up and under. That's the old Chris Cabin maneuver.
Hell yeah.
So that means, of course, in at number one, Kung Fu Panda 4, y'all. Look at this. Do not ever count out the family-friendly box office, folks. $58.3 million. It's the biggest debut for one of these Kung Fu Panda movies since Kung Fu Panda 1.
I mean, it makes sense. Because, I mean, like, everyone was still seeing that migration movie. People were still going to Wonka. Like, they were desperate for new blood in the family in the market.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the top five for the rest of the year.
Might be. Like, it's also going to do crazy international numbers, this one. This one will go nuts. But, yeah, I'm kind of, I like Jack Black. I kind of like knowing he's making money.
Nothing but goodwill towards Jack Black. I've never seen a Kung Fu Panda.
Neither
first
have I,
one's good. Yeah, first one's good. Yeah, I really liked the first one. I haven't watched the second one since it came out, and I saw it with one of my cousins. But I remember thinking that was fine. At that point, I was like, oh, it's just an animated movie, and it's not a big one. So, like, it's just entertaining. But they're better. I mean, what the good thing about it is, for all the people in this room who like Kung Fu movies, essentially they do kung fu fights, and like they do all like it's just not as impressive as actual people doing
Does a panda do their own stunts?
Yes, they do. They got them, you know. It was a lot of that was a hell of a negotiation with China, I will tell you that.
But you know that this is, I mean, obviously one, a theatrically released fourth film, but also I feel like this is definitely Shrek status, because there's like TV shows and like specials and one-off things with this also, like you find with all them Shrek the Halls and whatnot.
And in those terms, this is so much better than the Shrek movie. Like on the power of the first one alone, it's just such a better series than that.
Also, it's been 8 years since they put out one of these, so that's
I was wondering about the gap in time. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Daniel Hood in the chat says that Gary Oldman voices the villain in Kung Fu Panda 2 and is really
good. That sounds right.
Right. Harry S. Truman.
I think Viola Davis. Viola Davis is the villain in this one.
You cannot perform a crane kick with your mouth in the mouth of a tiger. With your head in the mouth of a tiger. Literally, a tiger is a guy that has his mouth on.
It's a guy.
It's like a literal dude. He's a little man.
So, interestingly, over on the Patreon gang, patreon.com/wehatemovies, I've started doing a Friday afternoon box office related poll. And check this out. Congratulations to the 31 people who had confidence in Kung Fu Panda 4 taking over, man. 69% of folks weighing in thought Dune 2 for sure. Never count out that family box office, y'all.
Parents, everybody.
They hate their kids and they need somewhere to put them for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. It's got to
every ding dong week. Elsewhere at the box office, specialty numbers, Love Lies Bleeding, which Chris and I'll talk about in a sec, from A24, limited on 5 screens around the country, 167K.
5 screens. Shy. My God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Look at these little special screen boys over here.
I know. This Friday, it goes up to 1200. 1200 screens.
I'm already making plans.
Yep, I got tickets for Sunday.
I'm going to go on a limb. Steve, you are going to really like this movie.
Interesting.
Having known your history and love of
Ed Harris.
Genre movies.
Yeah. Knowing his search history.
Right. He had the whole encyclopedia of that down at one point.
Ed Harris.
Yes, Ed Harris. About. Of course, you're a big Ed Harris fan. Thank you. You love The Right Stuff and Apollo.
I might spend $167,000 on that fucking poster, dude. I'll tell you that much.
Get that one next to St. Maude one.
We'll talk about that at length in a moment. But check this out, guys. This spring, which now officially we can start saying next month, we're going to start playing some spring shows here. First up, we are talking Gamer. Gerard Butler action movie.
Press X to ride.
Dude, I would love it. Just the moment in this movie of Gerard Butler is just like tapping his foot like Sonic. Like, where are we going? You have to move me.
They also, his teeth was disturbing people as well, so they re-edited those.
Get Gerard Butler's real teeth out and put some fake teeth in. We'll be talking all about this at the City Winery in Hotlanta, Georgia on the 25th of April, which is just next month, gang. So be prepared for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next month, doing a little Texas two-step. First up, we are going to Houston for what will be our Houston debut, folks. We can't stress that enough. First time checking out this wonderful city, Space City, Houston, Texas. We'll be at the Houston Improv. Talking RoboCop 2. Great movie,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, come on out to that. Give us a warm welcome, or, you know, you don't want us to shun you for life.
No.
Because it could happen. Because
we've shunned some cities before.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll shun again.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta just got off the shun list, actually. It's right back.
You've been de-shunned. And the very next night after our debut in Houston, Texas, we are going back to Austin, Texas for the first time in 6 years, doing a We Love Movies, official We Love Movies episode, about From Dusk Till Dawn. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a hot, dark night, Steve Sadak.
A dark night. I love to do that.
I'm excited for this. Jealous of all my buds that are in Austin right now. So it's going to be great to get back there. It's a fucking killer city. We always have fun there.
We do every time. And I will be, I know a lot of people are asking, I will be playing Eric's corpse like a guitar at least half of the show. It took a little bit of negotiation to get to this, but we're here.
Only if you leave some fingies in New York City, the hearts in Rome, the brains you can destroy, the skull in Antarctica.
Do you want like arms or something in Chicago? I know you're like you're a big Chicago boy, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. My arms were built in Chicago. I was born there. So put my arms in Chicago and tell them my story. Get Angel Studios to make the movie.
I will pitch it to them, but I need to play it first, and then I can do that. Okay.
Okay. You know, all right. That's fine. Yes. Just rip me apart. Use me like a xylophone. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
But we'll be talking all about that movie, a Cap City Comedy, on May the 15th in Houston, Texas. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm fucking psyched. So Chris Cabin, we'll get this review in here before its expansion this Friday. Love Lies Bleeding, the new one from Rose Glass. What are we talking, Steve Sadak?
You know that I'm a spoiler phobe. I'm just saying, I'm not doing it right now, but I might if you guys go overboard.
That's fair.
It's totally fine, Steve. Do whatever makes you feel comfortable, my friend.
Yeah, I might join you, Steve. Just let me know. We'll both. I'll look over your shoulder and I'll help. I'll read that as well.
I don't have much spoilery to say, so I don't think there's anything.
Because the stuff that you would spoil, you know right away that it would be a big spoiler, so that I'm not going to get into anything there. I will say, Chris, first of all, though, I need to, at some point, we got a busy-ass week here, so maybe this weekend viewing, I got to see this St. Maud, because Rose Glass directed a hell of a picture here.
St. Maud,
is it good? Yeah. It was, I don't know. Didn't that get sort of like a weird fucked by the pandemic release maybe or something?
Possibly.
I completely missed it. I know a lot of people liked it.
For sure. We streamed it for sure.
Oh, yeah. It was been out for a while.
So this is fucking great. This is, it's what I hoped and thought Driveaway Dolls might be, if that makes sense. It was much more of what I was looking for as far as like, the violence mixed with, there is a lot of comedy in this movie. It's very fucking funny. I did not watch the trailer, so I don't know how much they allude to the comedy, but like K-Stu in this movie, very funny.
Yeah. Oh, I think she's great in this. I always get a little weird with genre movies because I'm like, it's so easy to just play by the normal rules. Just do the normal hit this, and then we're out.
Right.
This was just so much more interesting for what they picked to focus on. Like, the idea, like, the familial element of it, which we won't get into too much, but, like the working out stuff, the little, the working of a criminal enterprise in a small town like this and actually getting at how it's interconnected like that. These are little details that I really like. And, yes, I mean, on top of that, Katie O'Brien, K-Stu, Ed Harris looking insane.
Dude. If there's any reason to not watch the trailer, it's so you maybe don't have to know what Ed Harris looks like in this movie. The scumbag factor.
It's the skull. I've seen it already.
He looks like riffraff. It's incredible.
He just needs a hunchback and he's totally riffraff. He's back, guys. Like, yeah, I don't know where he's been. I feel like whatever I've seen him in of recent note hasn't been anything that's really wowed me. I think this is the most he's wowed me since History of Violence. He's really fucking good and terrifying in the movie. I do love the like small, it captures small nothing towns so perfectly. Like you can fucking smell this town. You can feel the temperature out on the street coming off the screen. Like it's captured so amazingly. And like Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien, every scene they have together is incredible. Like great fucking chemistry. And it's weird because it's like, I don't want to sound like I don't think Kristen Stewart is also, you know, not great in this movie. She is great, but like I've seen her be great before. Yeah. Katie O'Brien stretching so far from like Star Wars and fucking Quantum Mania, for Christ's sakes. Like this is a real deal star term performance from Katie O'Brien.
I'm really happy about that because she is, honestly, like even that, she was the best part of that last season of The Mandalorian. Like I was like, oh, yes. Shit, here she comes again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. All her shit was the, far and away the most interesting part.
So good chemistry. You said good chemistry. How's the biology?
the biology's right where you want it to be, baby. And that's the other thing, man. We just got some sexy sex scenes in this movie. And, you know, no one was fucking running out of my theater. Packed fucking house, by the way.
It's nice for a movie to be hot. I'm sorry. It's nice. Yep. You know, it's something you don't get to often. And like, also, I mean, this movie, much like Saint Maud, is talking, I mean, it has ideas. Like it's talking about like self, like how we hurt ourselves, how that learning lessons about things like that is actually hard. It takes a couple times. You fuck up a lot before you ever get to any kind of clear decision about things like that. And it actually makes that a part of the drama. It makes it a bigger part of the drama than like the violent part of stuff, which is usually it goes the other way.
The violence is in this movie, but the violence doesn't dominate the movie.
Exactly.
It is intense though.
Oh yes. And that is very much like Saint Maud for people who've seen it. And there are like two or three major whoa moments. And then like most of the other rest of it is very simmering psychological stuff.
I'll tell you what, the two ladies in front of me were not prepared for the violence that goes down in this movie. Which was kind of also equally entertaining for me to watch. A lot of like ducking out of the way, like putting our hand, you know, physically moving away from the screen. Kind of stuff.
Maybe screams. Were they screaming? Were they scared?
Not in front of me, but there were some like, whoa! Like really like people taken aback by some of the violence, which is great. Cause it's like, it's this great blood soaked, you know, queer neo-noir, like, I fucking loved it. I know it's very early, but I'm confident in saying this for me will be one of my favorites of the year.
I'm excited. I know, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but sex and violence is what we go to the movies for, folks.
Absolutely.
Goddamn right, dude. So there you go. And when you guys see it, we'll weigh in with some specialty box office next week. Cause I'm curious what y'all think of it. Steve for Steve's reasons and Eric, cause he really likes neo-noirs.
Oh, come on.
My dudes. Oh, actually, Eric, I just got something in here.
Oh.
The intern just dropped something off at the desk here that I think we'll address before we get into Hollywood's Biggest Night. A little bit of We Hate Movies lore is about to be explained to our viewers here.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, some people write in and they're like, why do you guys say daughter weird? Or you say daughter and then you correct to dirter? It is my dirter.
Yes. My dirter.
Well, this commercial will help answer that.
Yes, this aired during the pandemic and it changed all of our lives. Basically,
we would see this every because we didn't do anything. I mean, we did nothing. No. I was just drinking, you know, whiskey, staring at the TV, getting angrier and angrier, and then this would come on and cheer up my day.
So here we go. This is for something I don't even know if it's still around anymore. They were calling themselves Betfair Casino. Let's take a look.
My daughter and I have tried other online casinos, but Betfair's the best.
Real players, real stories.
I feel like Betfair gives the best bonuses.
You've won with a few.
That's right.
You can play your favorite casino games anywhere in New Jersey. Join today to play your first day risk-free up to $200.
I've been going to the casino since you had to wear a sports jacket to get in.
Yeah, and now my dad plays in his pajamas at home.
Play your way at BetfairCasino.com.
You've won a few.
My dad's playing in his pajamas at home.
And Herm. Somehow she gets an R into the word home.
Oh, it's so
lovely. Yes.
Just throw R's anywhere you like.
I hope they're South Jersey accent. Oh.
I hope they're both doing very well. I hope, sir, you never have to wear a sports jacket again.
Never again. Never in your life, sir.
Yeah, I hope you got a straight flush while you were flushing. How about that? That's what I hope for you, sir.
You know, Dad, I don't care what kind of heater you're on. I need to use the toilet. I'm sick of shitting outside.
He's bringing the laptop into the toilet. All right, here we go.
My daughter needs to use the toilet.
Oh, me and my girder, my lovely dirter.
I'm glad you found that.
God bless them. And also, you know, this is not an advertisement. Don't actually go to Betfair Casino.
No, all online betting, stay away from, generally speaking, I would say.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But there you go, folks. A little piece of WHM lore brought into the light. Okay. Hollywood's weirdest, biggest night. Here we go. My goodness gracious.
No real surprises for me, honestly.
Almost done, yeah. I mean, Poor Things did better than I would have expected, and that's about it.
Yeah, yes. Actually, the one thing that surprised me, Zone of Interest getting sound, totally justified.
Yes.
But I just thought it would be on the Oppie roll by then.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So let's get into it first with the Farina, the departed, the Farina. Now, Chris Cabin, should we explain really quickly about what, if, for folks just joining us, maybe they're getting hip to the program. This was this is a picture of Dennis Farina, who was an actor, and what happened?
Well, whatever year it was that Dennis Farina passed and left us, I mean, fuck God for that, first of all. Whatever that happened, you get the Oscars in memoriam section hits. You assume it's Dennis fucking Farina. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. Where is he? He's not there. Everybody is stunned. This is the guy from Thief. He started with Michael Mann. Come on, guys.
It was 2013. Crime story. 2013 he passed away, so maybe it was the early 2014 ceremony.
So we've been doing 10 years of Farina, by the way. And to credit, I believe, Steve, you came up with the phrase.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yes, you did. Take the credit for it, Steve.
I'll take the victory. But Chris has made it a lifelong mission. I made the little offhand joke. Chris does the work and Chris lives it. So, and I will say, you are clearly living in the Academy's head rent-free, because this year they did everything they could to combat the Farinas. They did everything. Yeah. Someone went into a closed door and slammed it. It was like, we're not getting this Chris Cameron ever again, this Farina-ing.
You made it worse. You did it worse.
It's almost more insulting to have that one screen at the end. It's like, here's everyone else.
Yeah, here's the scraps. Some people got pictures. Here's the scraps.
I was is a robot. Like it's that.
Shocked by Kenneth Anger being in that extra.
That was
at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was happy that. Yeah. Of course, you're a little wondering if Kenneth Anger is even going to be mentioned. But that thing, I was looking on Twitter for people who had pictures of it, and nobody had it. So I was like, I'm not paying attention to this thing. No, fuck it. I love Cormac McCarthy, but Cormac McCarthy being on there at like. And I get Treat it.
Williams it's a novelist. Well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he wrote the script to The Counselor. That's about it. And obviously inspired No Country.
No Country. And I mean, like, there's so many other people who should be, if you're going to have that stupid list, who should be on the stupid list?
Yes.
Well, exactly. Here are people who were unfortunately not on the stupid list that you did your digging and found out about. So, like, look at this. I mean, this is insane. Ray Stevenson, first of all.
I mean, some of these
he is a punisher, ladies and gentlemen.
He is, and to be clear, some of these I think were actually on the list, but like there was no way of looking. Even if you were watching the goddamn broadcast, it was one shot, two shot, change it out. That was it.
Because well, it's and also, from far away, it wasn't like a close up away. On the screen.
The idea, like, just show me the teleprompter. Show me what the audience is seeing on their big screen. Not the dance. I don't give a fuck about the dance. You know what I mean? Like,
I found the screen, fellas. And yes, there's so Kenneth Anger's on there. Terrence Davies is on there.
Terrence Davies was another one here on our list. So yes,
Shecky Green is on this brief. And this thing flashed for like half a second. It's so
There's just no point in even doing it. Like, if you're going to do it, just picture, 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 one after the other.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, when the big names hit, you can take a little longer for them. That's fine.
Ray Stevenson is on this giant list. Cormac McCarthy, Lance Reddick is on there.
Burt Young.
Yes, and Treat Williams.
I found it and thought it looked funny.
This is him on the way to the Oscars, but then he died.
Oh, no.
From Go-Go Tales, maybe.
So Burt Young, Farina, Joss Ackland, Farina. This picture with the pipe is great. This should have been in the fucking slideshow. Look at that photograph.
Oh, I just don't know how you don't get the clip of him saying a diplomatic immunity and him getting his head blown off. Everybody quotes that all the time. Why?
Everybody I know, at least.
Yes.
Character actor Michael Lerner, of course.
The best.
He was Farinad.
He is on this brief, this little flash card. Okay. He's there. Sinead O'Connor is on there as well.
Is Ken Lerner now the last living Lerner, or what's the deal here, Chris?
I'm not aware, but I would assume so. I don't think there were any other siblings were there.
Or is Lerner someone who, again, like,
Ken Lerner's still like alive, so he's around.
Okay, that's good. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but there are just people who deserved photographs. Treat Williams is one of those people.
Yes.
Like, come on.
What are you talking about? Yeah. What are you talking about?
He's a movie star. He's in movies.
They did show photographs for entertainment executive or lawyer, because it's like, oh, we guys got a friend involved here.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised Andre Brower made the list, even though, I mean, like, I think Andre Brower is fantastic. He's just more of a TV guy for me. But he's been in a ton of movies. I think they show a scene from Glory. Was that it? Possibly. They show a scene from something he was in.
I didn't recognize the clip. It wasn't Rise of the Silver Surfer.
It was not Rise of the Silver
Surfer. Probably shouldn't
have put that out there. but yeah, Lance, you know, yes, arguably known more for TV, but was in a lot of movies, man. Yeah.
I mean, I think of this as, like, again, showing the age of the, most of the makeup of the Academy. Like, it's just like, of course we care about these old people that we've known for forever. And like Lance Reddick, who like just passed recently, is probably more well known to the 35 and under crowd.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter so much to them, even though it's clearly the person they would want to see. Everybody would want to see up there.
And I'm sorry, we don't need, and I'm not saying these people are not important and didn't contribute to show business, but like marketing executives, distribution consultants, like,
put them on the stupid list.
No.
The stupid list is for them.
Technical awards needs an in memoriam. Just do that, a brief one there for all the executives, for the gaffers who might have
passed. Yeah, that's fine. Go right ahead.
Another one, and I mean, this is not surprising, but as Chris pointed out, we were just talking about something from her body of work last week on We Hate Movies, but Carlin Glynn passed away. Yeah. She was Roy Scheider's high school love and future mother-in-law Night Game last week.
Yeah.
Which
she's been around
for
a while. She's been doing a bunch of stuff.
This woman did not want that free TV in that movie. She,
that she did not.
Absolutely did not. So those were just some of the snubs. I mean, there were a bunch of people for Rena, as always. Chris's Twitter for some more there. Go ahead.
Can I do a helicopter observation about the show last night?
Yeah.
Way too short.
Yeah.
Not enough fucking... I love the magic of the movie montages. Maybe that's just me. Like, I actually love that shit.
Those are always kind of great.
There was only one for the stuntmen. It was really, really short. They didn't show clips from movies almost at all, except for the Best Picture noms. And then they brought back my least favorite thing, which is...
Oh, God.
And you, Paul Giamatti.
Oh man.
You know what? If you're going to do that for every fucking... I want costume designers. I want five fucking costume designers to come out and talk about costume design for 20 minutes.
Yep. You're totally right. What's good for the goose, dude? This fucking...
stupid.
The way they announced them all with, like, the audio from, like, when they won their Oscar, and then... The curtain comes up or whatever, like, they're the Avengers, dude. Like, get out of here with that. Like, it's cool seeing people you haven't seen in a while, sure, but like, man, does it take forever. And the other thing is, like, the writing evolved over the night as far as these debuts were concerned, and by the end they were better. By the end it was like just about the performance, and it was kind of more fine that they were reading, like clearly reading things. But those earlier ones, first of all, there was way too, like everyone saying, my friend, my friend, my friend. Yes. And I was like, are you actually friends with this person? Or are you just like being...
I found them to be kind of spoilers too. Because right when Nick Cage was talking to Paul Giamatti, I'm like, Giamatti's not winning this. No way in fucking hell would they pair Nick Cage with the winner. I'm
Nick Cage is my favorite. He was pretty badass. I liked
it. I will say this though. The Cage and Giamatti interaction was the only one of them great. I liked.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. I just knew they wouldn't pair him with the winner. That's all.
Forrest Whitaker just got like a fucking index card about Coleman Domingo 30 seconds prior.
Yes, I was like, dude.
Who is? Oh yeah, I remember that guy.
Like, yeah, that was where worst. I started thinking. I was like, because he said my friend, and I was like, you're not fucking friends with him, are you, like, Forrest Whitaker?
Together, you know what I mean? And like, and we did a lot of like. And we'll get the black guy to talk about the black guy. Look at black guy talked about the black guy. Like, we did a lot of that last night.
Yeah, please don't do those ever again. Mm-hmm. But what did we think about Mr. Man himself, the host of the evening, James Kimmel?
Yeah. I thought he was fine.
I think it's fine. I think it's time. Honestly, like, my favorite, well, probably my favorite part of the night was John Mulaney coming in doing the Field of Dreams. I was like, and it seemed almost like an audition because why else would he be there? You know what I mean?
I think
like,
you're right.
John Mulaney, the man was made in a fucking vat to create something that hosts events. Yes. Like, that was his whole...
Yes.
You designed him to do this. Why not let him do it?
But I don't think he wants to do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
nobody wants to do it because it is a thankless job.
Yeah.
You're either going to get totally roasted. I mean, like, the idea that you would get, like, completely, like, lauded for it at this day and age is... really unlikely.
It's never going to happen. But as Chris said, though, like, he is very well suited to do something like this. And frankly, like, it looked like he was having a lot of fun doing that Field of Dreams bit. And if you just turned the hosting gig into that, because like, that's always where it's strongest, right? When you play to the actual strengths of the host. That's why, like, Billy Crystal, he's a song and dance man.
Yes.
Every one of his was a song and dance thing, because that's what the dude can do really well. And with Mulaney, it is that just like super fast delivery, seemingly scattered all over the place, but you can see where the bit's growing and going. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's a perfect match.
He should have been doing it.
I'm tired. I mean, like, I like Kimmel fine. I don't have any ill will towards him, but like the whole like, well, oh man, are we running late? Guess we got to restart. He does that every, it's like your uncle at Thanksgiving. Right, yeah. And it's like, dude, I know that I overloaded on mashed potatoes 3 years ago, but we have to get over it.
But there were
have to get over it.
I agree that the talking about the time was not really the move. There were some fun, like dad-esque jokes that I enjoyed, but, and it was, and it kept things light and he moved it along. I don't really have any problem with how he hosted.
No, he's a real workman, I think, for this job. He works. You're not going to, and rightfully, he's not going to like get the headline the next day because he doesn't really want it, I think.
Right. I mean, to me, he's always, since taking over or, you know, starting that late night with Jimmy Kimmel, like, and these hosting gigs, he feels like a dude that would have been just as comfortable in old Hollywood. And I don't know if that's because, like, he's born and bred like Vegas kid. So like maybe that's got something to do with it. He just feels like he's got a show business thing about him. Like, he's a dude that can say show business. And I'm not like, you're full of shit. Like he says it and you're like, that's kind of genuine. The dad stuff I thought was funny, but like, the second you start doing, you're playing the hits with that fucking we're going long. One, you've done it, but also like,
You know,
don't you see that you doing the bit talking about making it longer is also making it longer?
Yes.
Come on, already.
And why I like Steve Martin, Billy Crystal, why I like these guys to handle this stuff is because I'm not going to have to sit there and watch the part of his show bringing the Jimmy Kimmel show to the Oscars to do a tequila commercial.
That's true.
Drove me fucking crazy. I've not liked the fucking relationship thing. It's weird as hell, I think. Him and his sidekick there.
Guillermo?
Yeah. I think that's all really strange. But like, the bigger thing is just, it's not your show. You are here to host it. You are here to create, like, Steve Martin bringing the dip to Danny DeVito. Remember that? Like, the little things of, like, personality interactions. Like, but the turning, like, because it's Jimmy Kimmel and it's his show's going to be on like what, in an hour after it or yeah. something like that. Like, it just becomes a thing where they're sharing it all, and I get annoyed every time, every single time. I don't like him at all. I'm sorry.
I mean, that was also, you know, no, it's totally fine. I think the other thing though, like, that sort of plays into that, and again, I wonder how much of it is Kimmel versus the studio, because like, how many fucking times was he forced at gunpoint to tell you that after the Oscars, there was a new episode of Abbott Elementary?
Oh boy.
You know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ, ABC.
Was it Bradley?
It was Cooper.
Yeah, I figured it was the Philadelphia thing. Speaking of, I'm Sir Rachel in the chat, a messy fake pissing on Matt Damon's star at the end.
Yep.
Pretty humorous. How do you get a dog to fake piss on something is my question. Like, how do you teach a dog? Like, mm-hmm. you're like, hey, yeah. man, you know when you lift your leg and you release yourself? We want you to do the first part, but not the second part. Like, how do you?
I think here's what it is, dude, because sometimes I'll see this in my neighborhood walking Marty, and sometimes Marty herself will do this in her own way. But like, if you got a dog like just walking along and it's doing like territoriality, like, oh, I'm going to smell something and I'm going to leave my whatever, they'll be like straight running on fumes and they'll go to do it, but like nothing happens. So I imagine what was going on was after Messi's the funny, speaking of Swedish Chef, the puppet hands of the dog clapping. I think after that, they were like, all right, boy, come on, let's go. They went out on like Hollywood Boulevard, walking him up and down, pissing everywhere until that very end of the night moment. And it was like, all right, Messi, do the leg trick. And there was just nothing in the tank, dude.
I got nothing left.
I would have loved
can't do it.
Hot streams of real piss. Maybe some steamy loaves also delivered.
It would have been. I mean, I know it's stupid, but the ongoing fake feud between Jimmy Kimmel and Matt Damon, I think, is one of the... It makes me crack up. I don't know why. It's very funny. Speaking of something I thought was very funny, what did you guys think about Mr. Cena?
It's a funny bit.
My God.
It was a good bit.
Ooh. I mean, that guy, he was very close to dangling brain, man.
He looks like a shaved animal, huh? Look at this thing. That thing's not meant. That shouldn't be walking down the street with me. That belongs somewhere else.
Well, we all missed Stidicky, right? That was this week. Who watched
Ricky? Oh, I didn't miss it, baby. Oh, you I saw did Ricky.
Not. Wait, what is this?
The next by Oscar winner Peter Farley, you're going to miss the latest. Come on.
Explain, the auteur behind Green Book.
Yeah, the Green Book man.
Zac Efron in a big box dumb comedy.
It was
news to me. Didn't Amazon? Know about this.
It was Amazon.
Yeah, I think it was Amazon. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's horrible, but surprise on that one.
It's like a rent-a-friend thing.
Yes, like they've been making up a friend for forever, and then they get called on it, and they're like, "We need to have someone play it." And they met this person, and the big joke with John Cena is he has a local Las Vegas show where he does covers of songs, but reworded to be about masturbation.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
And that is essentially the biggest joke of the movie. And they really ride that one.
And I like that Cena went for it. Like, I think The Rock had to do a little bit after that. He just so on fumes at this point.
He's a robot, dude. It was really bad. It was him and Bad Bunny.
That's right. I was like, you're not such a Bad Bunny.
dude, yeah, it was PU Town, man. That thing fucking clanked down the stairs.
We'll
that
see
joke.
What happens with that Benny Safdie movie he's doing, but that guy needs a readjustment. The Rock as it is now, I feel like you blew it, pal. Just get off the screen forever.
Black Adam might be the last movie of his that I ever watch. It's entirely possible.
I mean, they're just coming to this situation where both of them, Rock and Cena, like you've spent all of your stupid movie money.
Yeah.
You have to do a real movie now. It's been, you've done enough. Like, I actually really, I know I'm not crazy about the movie. It's okay. But I thought he was really good in Trainwreck. I was like, he's one of the best parts of this fucking movie. And like, since I was like, hey, let's keep going. Maybe he's going to be a funny guy. And it's been terrible, including this. And like, I just hope someone finds him too, not just The Rock. I hope someone finds something good for John Cena, because I do think he's a funny guy.
Yeah. Peacemaker season 2, man. It's happening.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. Real quickly here, Arnold and Danny.
Loved it.
Battling Michael Keaton, who was so into it.
I gotta say,
what do you guys think about this statement? Tell me if this is kind of maybe too out of left field, but Michael Keaton doing Batman stares at the Academy Awards last night, better performance than Michael Keaton in Batman as Batman in The Flash.
Absolutely.
Yes. Without question. Yes, without question.
I mean, he was so fucking good right there. Look at that. He's even got like a Bruce Wayne neckerchief thing on.
George Clooney battled Arnold there for a second.
Yeah, I'm sure some fucking loser got out of bed to type that somewhere.
Here's a key element for why this works and The Flash doesn't. He was looking at other human beings when he delivered this thing. So, I mean, it was, there was true. Something to react to there. So that
other
was,
human beings you respected one way or another as actors.
Yes. That's, not a green wall.
That's who you had there. I thought that was delightful. And I thought, because they were introducing Editor and Jennifer Lame won for Oppenheimer, and she was like, I love twins, and this is very weird, which I thought was funny.
Well, they also did, they're lucky he didn't win because where the other Yorgos who edits Poor Things, Arnold just is like, Yorgos Alamagas.
Alakazam. Oh, no.
Let's be honest, that's close enough.
You're right, though, Steve. That fucking pronunciation crashed right into the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Eric, if you were ever nominated for an Academy Award and they fucked up your name, I would never not hear about it. I would hear about it until the day you die.
There's so many people that fuck up my name and I just don't tell you, but it happens every day.
Okay. Hey, speaking of fucking up, and then we'll get to the big winners, but my God, Al Pacino, I don't think we'll be invited back to the Academy Awards ever again.
You know what? People over 75 should not be handling the envelopes at the Oscars. They should only have nuclear codes. That's right. That is how that needs
exactly.
to work.
Exactly. That's just the way it should be. Could you put that photo up again?
Sure.
Here we go. Preview of the next In Memoriam section.
Oh, man. I hope he's more than text on a list somewhere.
No.
I mean, here's the other thing, though. I mean, yes, obviously, Steve, you're totally right about the age thing, but also, like, looked like I had a couple of cocktails before I got out there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I
poured myself a big cognac.
Yes, dude. He chugged some cognac, put on his fucking Skechers, and shuffled out there. He looked lit.
It was an amazing deflation of the entire night. It was incredible.
Yep. It was, I mean, like, you got one job, man. The nominees are, and the Oscar goes to, and you fucked up the first part and skipped it entirely.
If I was Chris Nolan, I would have grabbed his hand. Oh, well, thank you so much. Can I just look at that card? I need to be sure that I won. Okay, thank you so much. Oh, thanks, Al. Thanks.
Love it's a new job for everybody.
You. Exactly. You want to double check on that because you never know.
Especially with like the run that Poor Things had with a bunch of the awards and stuff. Like,
it definitely could have
stolen
it.
Holy shit.
You know what? Last time I remember it being funny, though, and I guess this is why they do it, is because Jack Nicholson saying Crash is incredible. And like when
Jack Nicholson saying Capote, isn't it?
No, it's Crash.
Capote.
But the winner was the best picture was Crash, and Nicholson did read it. And
Crash. Because it's the same year as Capote, though, I think. And he fucking straight up said Capote on the telecast. But so it was that year. That's an embarrassing win, Crash, by the way, for Best Picture.
But like he was like focused. Like he wasn't like running it. He wasn't mumbling or anything like that. He was like snappy. Right. He was with it. And he's a legend. So you're like, hey, smart idea. End the night with a legend. But now they're all way too old. They're all can barely stand up. They're on so many drugs.
So here's a question. Who's the next? What's the next legends? Who would be the next in line?
So like people who are now in like what their 50s and 60s, I guess right?
So, yeah.
So like Denzel's probably going to
That's true.
One of them.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good one.
I'd like F. Murray Abraham. He seems still spry.
Yeah.
How old is F. Murray Abraham though?
Oh, he's got to be up in there. late 60s, early 70s. Denzel's a good one. Meryl Streep would be great, obviously. She's like the queen of the world.
Holy crow, F. Murray Abraham, 84 years old.
Oh, wow.
Get that guy a nuclear code.
He does seem pretty sharp. You know, Pitt? On the comedy side, yeah, Brad Pitt.
Clooney. Someone in the chat says Tom Hanks. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think Hanks has done it. Actually, I'm not
for
incorrect.
Best Picture.
Yeah, I think
he's presented Best Picture.
Yeah, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And then you know, Brad Pitt. I guess fucking RDJ eventually. Tom Cruise is, you know, an institution. Mm-hmm. So
Tom Cruise like famously skips the Oscars though all the time. Like he doesn't go.
That's if they want to get him there though. If they ever had a reason to put the stuntman Oscar in there,
you will get
Tom Cruise to come with that shit. You will absolutely get him for that.
So real quick, because we're coming up on the hour here, but just to go through the stuff that won big. Best Animated Feature. Very cool. Boy in the Heron.
Still haven't seen it. Got to get on it.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's a fun one, man. International Feature, this was no surprise. Jonathan Glazer took home for Zone of Interest with a very powerful speech. That was a real interesting moment that I did not anticipate happening. So that was very cool.
Well, it was smart because he didn't say shit about it the entire award season, so he could get it in right now because they
No, he's every award he's been. That's I knew it was coming because every award.
Oh,
he's
is
been,
that right?
He's been saying something. A similar statement. A very similar statement.
I will say this, not a dry eye in the house for Davon Joy Randolph and that whole thing. Giamatti helping her up the stairs. Giamatti crying in the audience at her speech. And her speech was just incredible. What a fucking moment. And as she said, she hopes she gets to keep doing this. Don't let it be the curse of a new person wins a supporting actor thing and then you never see them again. She's great on Only Murders in the Building. She gets to do comedy on that show. Yeah. She's fucking hysterical. Mm-hmm. Of course, the big man, RDJ, this was no surprise there. I like to see. Someone was saying he ripped the award out of Kihei Kwan's hand. I didn't notice that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What happened? Happened?
You can watch it. When he goes, he doesn't look when he grabs the award. He's not looking him in the eye.
Can we go frame by frame?
People are doing that, Eric. I'm trying to, the manners police came out in full effect for this thing.
I had no idea. There was even I didn't even notice. Go ahead. Please recount the evening.
So when he got, he's looking, I think, at, somewhat at the end. I forget who was at the end of the line there.
Tim Robbins was down there, I think.
But he dapped up Tim Robbins, which I kind of liked. I was like, 80s Burroughs. I love that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's looking at somebody else and takes the Oscar. So he's not looking him in the eye.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, that's disrespect. That's showing disrespect. And they also have images of Emma Stone doing something similar. It's so nuts that people watch this shit like this at all. It's unbelievable.
You're just crazy about the moment.
You're shitting your fucking pants. You just won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Stop this, folks. You try winning an Oscar and hit all the fucking
and then
boxes.
You have to give a speech. I have to give a best man speech to my brother in about a month and a half. I'm going to shit my pants every time I've had to do it, I've shit my pants because giving a speech is terrifying. Even if you're comfortable acting or doing other stuff, I'm not going to shit my pants on our road trip. But when I have to do this this fucking speech, I'm going to shit my pants. That's going to happen.
It's going to be a very smelly wedding.
I will say, Steve, for what it's worth, you gave a speech at my wedding. It was great, dude. You did totally a great job.
And my leg was shaking.
And it's your brother who you like better. Yeah. You know.
I
was shaking the entire time I did your
You were. Speech. I was there. You were shaking the entire time. I saw the logs roll out your pant legs.
it was a wonderful day.
Yes, folks. There was someone shitting in public at my wedding. That's what Aaron's revealing.
Giving a speech like that is very difficult no matter what. And it's
thing is
your brain is just everywhere.
No, because everybody's become a body language expert. It's their hobby now. Is that I can mind read? Hello.
Yeah, the people that never leave their houses suddenly know how other people should behave.
Yeah, smart stuff.
Killian.
Yeah.
It was great and bittersweet at the same time, It was.
I'm with you. I loved it. He is the straw that stirs that movie, which is an amazing movie. It was my favorite movie of last year. Second favorite movie was The Holdovers because Paulie G was so great, and I would have liked Paul to win, but what are you going to do? Killian's amazing. It's well-deserved. It's way well-deserved.
I'm a very proud Irishman tonight, he said. I thought that was very sweet.
Well, I liked it. He's like, I want to tank me team, Mary O'Grady, Tommy O'Grady,
yeah.
Tony O'Grady,
also O'Grady family.
Of course, Sinn Féin. We love them.
Just real quick. I don't know about this. Emma Stone.
I called Bella last Baxter. Week. I called yeah, it.
You did it. You did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It's a good performance in a movie that I don't like.
It's a big fucking swing. I think is kind of how it got here.
Yeah,
and you're absolutely right. It is a for the fences performance. Absolutely,
it's just unfortunate because Lily, I love Lily Gladstone in Killers, which got totally shut out, and it would have meant something a little bit more for her in a lot of different ways, and for the Oscars in a lot of different ways. And I mean, like. It is what it is, but it's just sort of like, meh.
It's the way people voted, man. And, you know, you got to respect it. But I just was like, I remember being totally fucking deflated. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it felt like you were really hoping to observe a moment. And instead, like, you just saw Emma Stone at the Oscars again.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and whatever.
She won for La La Land.
La La Land?
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, she won Best Picture for La La Land.
So that's the shocking one. Now I'm shocked now.
I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that Killers is Poor Things is a better movie and a better performance.
Oh, 100% on that one.
Even though I don't really care for it, but there you go.
And so our man,
Chris
Nolan, double fisted. Look at this photograph. Yeah. There's double fisting it, dude. Mm-hmm.
That is, it's the last thing you needed. Now he's like this generation's director. That's it.
Dude. Yep. Live him. Let him do it. Let him make the Bond movie. He's done it. Let him have his victory lap. This is the one thing he wants to do. Let him do it and shut the fuck up about it. Just, I'm tired of this shit.
That would be truly incredible. You know, what's funny is like he will be, speaking of the old timers, like with now we got Spielberg showing up. He will be giving awards to people. Yeah. I really like, I mean, shit, man, how cool for Chris Nolan. Like, I just received an Academy Award from Spielberg. Like, fuck. It doesn't get any better than that. It was great to see. And again, this was cool for me because like he's always such a whatever kind of stuff shirt's kind of too mean, but like he's just a very professional guy.
Reserved.
And so English. Like you could tell he was just like so thrilled by this and just so stoked. And like you could see that very carefully crafted persona kind of cracking a little bit, and I thought it was nice. And
he had never won before. He had never won, right? Like that's not even for screenplay or any of that stuff. Because he always kind of got nominated for screenplay. But
he did do a speech up there because I think he accepted Heath Ledger's post-life Oscar, whatever they call that.
Posthumous. Yeah, I think that was him and the father, I think.
And you know, I found out that the Ledger estate never got that Oscar. It's kind
of weird. Well, now maybe they'll get it now because he's got so many.
Yeah, really. Oh, look what I found in the garage.
Oh my God, I'm so sick over this whole situation.
I saw it, I opened a box and I went, there it is.
His friends come over and they see it on his son's mantelpiece.
You have 61 missed calls from Michelle Williams.
You son of a bitch!
And then, of course, it won the evening as well.
It won the evening. They did the smart thing of having James Woods not on stage. Yes.
I was looking very closely.
He was at the ceremony and the
he was.
Yes. Go to his Twitter account. You can see he looks like a fucking like a rotting clown in a field now. He looks
he's a Harkonnen.
He looks worse than you ever remembered. He looks so bad.
I do that to you, dude.
Yes.
I didn't recognize him. I saw the photo this morning and it was like, here we go. Or so it was like a selfie. And I was like, whose selfie is this on James Woods' Twitter account?
He did get mentioned by the other producer.
That other guy.
Other guy mentioned him. So,
good there trade. You go. Not having Nolan have to say it. Like, be like, please.
That's true. Sure you can come up here, other guy, but you're the one that has to thank James Woods.
Exactly.
But any other stray thoughts here as we wrap up? The hour's well past us here at this point, fellas. But overall, I'll just say there have been worse Academy Awards ceremonies.
I like actually how it's like, I also am with Steven that I missed those montages.
Yep.
But I was glad that the thing moved. And like, it wasn't,
It wasn't that much shorter than the last one, but it was a little bit shorter. And I will thank for that much. And one big win, my man, Van Hoytema, been overdue, my man. But like, really, thank God he got it. Like, really, I was really happy to see that. I think he should have gotten it for Nope, but that's another matter.
Also, just really quickly, very entertaining and powerful musical performances, mostly all around. I really liked the Billie Eilish. I really liked A Song for My People. That the indigenous performance there was amazing.
And Ken. With
indigenous musicians. And Ken, Ken was great. That was just a solid hunk of entertainment with hunks. But it was fucking funny. It was well choreographed, well executed, just amazing. That was highlight.
Did you all scream a little bit when the Flaming Hot Cheetos song came on?
What the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah, I tweeted, is this song from,
are we talking about?
Is this song from Oppenheimer? Is what I was saying. That was a flaming hot one.
That was weird. And then I was laughing because it was this performance, Becky G or something.
Yeah.
And she's, I guess, according to the internet. No shade. But like, according to the internet, she's 27 years old. I said to Chelsea, I was like, who's this 12-year-old girl singing? And then a massive chorus of tinier children came up from the floor, and I could not stop laughing. It was very funny.
It makes your shit sting. Flaming Hot Cheetos. Shit
your
sting.
Your ass is gonna burn. Flaming Hot.
The Oscar-nominated Flaming Hot Cheetos by
Baby. Yes.
That is going to do it for this week's On Screen Live. Massive week of programming here we want to catch you up on. If you're still, funny enough, playing catch up with last week, we mentioned it already on the show, but Roy Scheider in Night Game, one of the listener requested episodes this month we released last week, along with a patron requested episode on The Fugitive.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day.
But then listener request month continues this week on the show, talking about the reprehensible Indecent Proposal.
Oh my God.
And you can put this one in your ears ad free over on the Patreon at the $8 level and up. That's not all, gang. The content will flow much like the spice this week. Wednesday, a Rebel Moonmentary commentary track comes out. This one is a lot of fun, talking about the intentionally not good, but the director's cut is also intentionally coming, so don't worry about it. Zack Snyder movie.
We recorded this a while ago. Unfortunately, we couldn't weigh in at the time on the what do you say? 160 million people watch that movie, according to Zack Snyder, which is like, come on, pal.
How many of them watched it, and how many of them had it on in the background just because it auto played?
For 3 seconds, and that's your watch. Yeah. You get to catch it.
It counts.
So funny. That we're trying to like dupe people with that. Like everybody knows how it works now, Zach. That's embarrassing.
He was trying to equate it that 160 million people would have bought tickets to see it in the theater.
More than Barbie. Fucked. Eat shit, Barbie. Yeah, Rebel Moon.
Uh-huh.
Part
God
one.
Damn. Theatrical cut.
Anyway, you can add to that number with the Rebel Moonmentary where we take the little piss out of it.
That's fine. Right. We're gonna help Zach. We're taking down Avengers Infinity War. Finally, we're going to make this the most watched movie of all time. We're gonna do it.
One of our most listened to shows of all time, Melrose 210, is also new this week on Thursday.
That's right. I heard 160 million people are signed up for Patreon at the $10 level, the Walsh tier, where you get Melrose 210.
We are so glad.
Yes, this month we are talking David Silver walking in on Kelly Taylor in the shower. That's picture one. And picture two is Michael Mancini maybe throwing Sydney off a cliff on their honeymoon.
Maybe.
And then check this shit out, y'all. Friday, my God, the amount of shows this week. Friday, we're releasing what's technically like episode zero of our new show, Too Old for This Shit. This will be on the Patreon without commercials. And on the free feed with commercials so we can spread the word about Too Old for This Shit, where we are talking the pilot, Steve, is that right, of X-Men 92?
It is, the two-part pilot. Night of the Sentinels. I'm really excited to revisit it. I watched the first half last week. I'm going to watch probably that again and do the whole thing this week. I'm really excited. And I'm because all we're geared up for X-Men 97, which is next week, which is so exciting.
Yes, I already watched this, and because I didn't watch the show that much growing up, I knew the intro, but I really like this two-parter that opens this original series.
Yeah, man, it's fun. This is going to be really great. So yeah, we wanted people to get like a sort of a taste, but also like a way to spread the word about Too Old for This Shit. So Friday, Too Old for This Shit preview episode, talking Night of the Sentinels from X-Men 1992, the original Fox after-school cartoon. Very excited about that. But this was a big week. Thanks for sticking around, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a great week. And until next time, I have been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Adios. Bye-bye.